Welcome to Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast. The only professional wrestling podcast in the world where pro wrestling is discussed passionately, with confidence, with great knowledge, and most of all, in the most sophisticated way. So brace yourselves, ladies and gentlemen, because chaos is about to be unleashed.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of Ringside Chaos, the professional wrestling discussion segment of the Bear of Texas podcast and Pain Train Pipe Bomb Productions. My name is Alex Alcazaz, a.k.a. the Bear of Texas. And ladies and gentlemen, let's proudly welcome to the show for the first time the playmaker himself, ladies and gentlemen, Darnell Salins. Darnell, welcome to the show. It's an honor to finally have you on, sir.
Yeah, it's a good time to be on. Road to WrestleMania. And it's heating up. It's getting pretty much set right about now. So I know you've been wanting me on for a while and you finally got there.
Well, yes, I did. I have wanted you on for a long time, and I know that you've wanted to be on the show also, but you kept saying that we got to wait till the time is right. So here we are, and we are coming off Elimination Chamber, and we're coming off something very, very special involving New Japan Pro Wrestling, which we will get to, because it's something that I've wanted to talk about for a long time, because it's about time that something good happened with her. But again, we'll get to it. But now we get to Elimination Chamber, and I did watch the show earlier today, and when you were watching it on Saturday, I mean, based on your reaction on Twitter, you loved the show. And our boy, Ricky, the Master of Mayhem, actually liked the show, and believe it or not, I was really hoping to have you along with him on the show, but unfortunately, he's busy with something else. And I got to be honest, I adored the show. And this was like the first time in God knows how long that the entire show was basically more of a thumbs up than a thumbs down.
Every match played its role, and it played it very well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and shout out to that Montreal crowd. Good.
Well, speaking of the Montreal crowd, the building where this show took place, do you know what happened in that particular building at one point in wrestling that changed the history of wrestling forever?
The Montreal Screwjob.
Yes, sir. The same building where the Montreal Screwjob took place. And because we know from the fan reaction from that night, we all knew that the fans would give quite a reaction in this one. But then again, Canadian fans have a history of giving great reactions, whether it's a heel reaction, a face reaction, whatever. Canadian fans are beyond passionate when it comes to professional wrestling.
Breakthrough.
Well, the birth of the Mr. McMahon character. Oh, boy. You know, and quite honestly, I mean, I don't even remember the last time that they were even in Montreal, at least not for a pay-per-view or for a live show. I mean, I know that over the years they've done house shows in Montreal, but I don't remember the last time they actually had a live show in Montreal. I'll never forget DX versus The Legacy, which I believe was in 2009, but, well, of course, in Montreal, we'll never forget what happened to Jerry Lawler back in 2012, but yeah, Montreal is, you know, very good, is very, very unique in the world of pro wrestling, for good and bad. But let's go ahead and get started. And, of course, the Elimination Chamber, the Women's Elimination Chamber. My God. And I was just so overjoyed when Asuka won, because you know me, Playmaker, because over the years, I have been extremely vocal in my support for Asuka. And I've been very, 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 very critical. And I've been basically throwing out shots, you know, shots fired at creative management for not booking Asuka properly, right?
That you have.
Mm-hmm. And maybe they will finally get it right. Because I'm going to be honest with you. Asuka has been around for a while. And she has yet to win a match at WrestleMania. I think now it's about time that they finally give that to her. She is beyond earned it, and quite honestly, Asuka looks better than ever, but I got to be honest with you. we're seeing a different Asuka. You've noticed the change in gear, the face paint, I mean, everything. And I was doing research, Playmaker. This is based off her character from Japan. So I believe that this might be finally be it for Asuka. We're going to see Asuka finally be stronger than ever, but we're going to see her perform in a way that we have never seen before. And quite honestly, that is what I want. And I know that's what you want too, sir.
I'm happy Asuka won. So I had that feeling, though, that Carmella might end up winning it because we were the last two women standing in that match, those two.
Well, I'm going to be out. Well, you know, speaking of Carmella, it's good to see her again. I think she's been out for a while with an injury. I believe she got injured last August, but I'll never forget when she revealed, I believe in October, when she suffered an ectopic pregnancy, which resulted in a miscarriage. And I got to be honest with you, when I saw that, because she revealed that through an Instagram, and then it was all over social media. I mean, because Carmella has been one of my favorites for so long. You know, I mean, I've been a huge fan ever since she was in NXT, but seeing somebody go through something like that, I mean, that is heartbreaking. But it's good to see her back, and she was, you know, the last eliminated, so I think she had a good run in the match. But I'm going to be honest with you, because we've talked a little bit about this before the show. Every single competitor in this match just lived up to expectations big time. I mean, they overachieved, to be honest.
It was a great way to kick off the Elimination Chamber. Every woman played their part. They played it well. Nikki Cross with Kel Rodriguez. The real name is Gonzalez, but we're going to go with Rodriguez.
It's Rodriguez.
Liv Morgan and everybody loves. I love me some Liv Morgan.
I mean, me too. I mean, I'm telling you, Liv Morgan, the way that she was eliminated, it's like you've said before, that is Liv Morgan for you. But if we know Liv Morgan the way we do, it's like this with her. What doesn't kill her only makes her stronger.
Natalya did good being a countryman favorite and going into the match.
Well, let me ask, as much as I love Asuka, if Natalya had won it, I would have actually considered that a success because Natalya is a hero of mine, believe it or not. But, you know, she got that tremendous positive fan reaction from the Montreal crowd. I mean, she was performing well in her home country. And I got to be honest with you, even though she didn't win, I mean, I still believe that Natalya, how she was in that match, I mean, she was actually the second to last eliminated. If I remember correctly, she had Asuka in the sharpshooter, and then Carmella struck with a super kick and then pinned her. So how ironic it is that Natalya has Asuka in the sharpshooter and then something bad happens.
So yeah, it was a great way to kick off the match. The lady did not disappoint whatsoever. But I'm interested in seeing how Triple H moves forward with the other five combatants towards Hollywood for WrestleMania. Because right now, Asuka has her spot. Of course, Bianca and Charlotte got their spot, and Rhea Ripley has her spot.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because all these women are so talented and, you know, and creative. We're always begging and we're always wanting creative to do something with all of them. But the problem is, I mean, there's only so much you can do so much with. But, you know, but speaking of Nikki Cross, when she went back to her Twisted Sister persona, I was relieved because I got to be honest with you. Nikki Cross having the almost superhero gimmick, I was never a fan of it. And I spoke to our friend, Mr. Dre Day, about it. And he was equally disappointed with that gimmick as I was. I mean, sometimes I can honestly say that maybe Dre was a little bit more unimpressed with it, more than with it with me, because he explained that when you have a character that's over like that, you know, they already ruined it when she moved up to the main roster and she wasn't as twisted. So he kind of felt that was it, and I agreed. But so I'll never forget telling Dre what they should do with Nikki Cross is take her off of television, come up with a storyline saying that she snapped and lost her mind and that she's been basically put up in whatever. And then they start teasing the escape when they start this little storyline where she escaped from the institution. She's more twisted than ever and she's coming back to Raw. I'm telling you, the excitement would have been through the roof then, but it just didn't go out. It just didn't go out that way.
But I mean, they got her back to her normal.
I always ask myself, who's more twisted? Is it Liv Morgan or Nikki Cross? And I'm talking character-wise.
Nikki, you don't want to be around Nikki. You don't want to be around that type of twisted person.
I mean, Nikki's tough. No doubt about it. Also, I'll never forget, I mean, our other buddy, the Master of Mayhem. I mean, we all know Ricky. We all know Ricky is a huge fan of Nikki Cross. I mean, he's probably the bigger fan than both of us combined. And Ricky will probably, you know, cut a major promo on anybody that says anything bad about Nikki Cross. But yeah, you're right. I mean, Nikki Cross has been around for a while. And, you know, hopefully she gets, you know, a decent run again. But, you know, again, like you said, the question is, you know, where do they go moving forward with these five competitors? And we'll have to wait and see.
Yep. Yeah, that was a great way to start off Chamber. Very great way to start off Chamber.
It sure was. And then we get to Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. Okay, I'll be honest. The match itself, I'm sure it could have gotten different. I mean, it wasn't so bad, but I just don't like the way it ended. But how many times have I said that? I don't like the endings.
This is the part where everybody misses. You have Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. Is that match Elimination Chamber worthy?
No, I would have said that based on what happened at the Royal Rumble, and we talked about this, this should happen at WrestleMania. But they got to build it and build it and build it, but they got to do it properly.
They did it properly.
Mm-hmm.
Think about it. The first time they went at it, Bobby Lashley won, but because of Roman Reigns got involved, correct?
Yes, sir.
I believe that was at the Royal Rumble, right? So, is it at the Royal Rumble or was it SummerSlam? One of the two.
Well, I don't remember what it was, but the Tribal Chief did get involved. So this has been building up for a while, and now they're picking it up at the perfect time.
Next matchup, Crown Jewel. Brock Lesnar won, but Brock Lesnar was not the dominant one in the match. When have you ever heard me or anybody say that?
Never.
Brock Lesnar won a match, and he wasn't even the dominant one.
Exactly. And to end it there, that's good. That, in the words of Jim Cornette, shitty booking.
Then we get to the Warrior Rumble, this past Warrior Rumble. Bobby Lashley eliminated Brock Lesnar. That usually how most stories of WrestleMania start. You eliminated me, but my opportunity to get to the main event of WrestleMania, we gonna have to fight about this. Instead, they threw a caveat in there. Brock ain't trying to wait to WrestleMania. He want Bobby Lashley right here, right now, at Elimination Chamber. But we all know where this has been headed to. Don't I always do this around this time? How do we get from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania? And that's always the question that I ask when I talk about storylines.
And I always answer in the best way. You utilize creative authenticity. You make the storyline as great and creative as you can be. You don't rush it in the planning. You discuss it. You basically cover point A to point B. You anticipate everything that can possibly come out of it. And then you see if it works out or not. Because if you rush it, if you don't do it correctly, it's going to be a major, you know, lackluster decision. It's gonna be bad from the fans. The fans are going to react. It's not going to be what, in the words of Triple H, is best for business. That's what it's all about. You got to do what's best for business.
So Brock Lesnar is in a mood that he cannot get out of, which is the Hurt Lock. He cannot get out of that move.
That's why the best way to call that low blow was an act of desperation. So the only way Brock Lesnar could have gotten out of that Hurt Lock was a low blow that would lead to a disqualification.
And then it was Brock Lesnar this time who left Bobby Lashley lying and walking.
Yeah, I mean, because it was all chaos. I mean, he tacked another referee. I mean, F5's on the commentary table. I mean, all right, let me tell you this. Okay, I mean, we want to talk about matches being solidified. Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley is happening at WrestleMania, but you know what's gonna happen? You know how it's gonna happen? It's not just gonna be any match, Playmaker. You want to sell it the way it is and how it's been built up? You go no holds barred.
You say no holds barred. I heard others say put him in the fight pit.
You know what? Even better. Even better. I mean, of course, you know, Brock Lesnar with his MMA and UFC background, you know, same thing with Lashley. I mean, I'm not sure if Lashley ever competed in UFC, but I know that Bobby Lashley is a legitimately trained fighter. So you know what? That's even better. Let him go at it. But then again, now we're basically kind of reminiscing to a little bit of the Brawl for All, which was, you know, a worst moment in pro wrestling history. But you know what? You're right. Let him fight.
So is this all, can they get from Royal Rumble to WrestleMania with everything intact? You can call this the worst match on the card. It was supposed to be. That's how it was set up. Because they already knew the rest of the matches are going to do what they need to do, and we're going to get that. Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley, they have to suck at this because we're trying to get the Mania. And with this type of finish, it ensures we're going to WrestleMania. Because one, Bobby Lashley is not going to take him getting low blow and laid out at Chamber and walk away. He's not going to do that.
I mean, believe it or not, the Bleacher Report, they gave this a C-plus grade. I mean, for this match.
Because, you know, people are looking at the finish. Ah, it was a disqualification. No, pay attention. How many times do I tell our audience this? Pay attention to the storyline. What is the storyline from the beginning and what is it involved to? First of all, it started off with what? Bobby Lashley saying Brock Lesnar has been avoiding him for like years and years and years, correct?
Mm-hmm.
We finally got the matchup. Bobby Lashley won because Roman Reigns also doesn't like Brock Lesnar. So if one of y'all got to win, damn it, I'm taking out Brock Lesnar. Bobby, you can win and have the belt, correct?
Yeah.
Brock is feeling some type of way. He take him and Roman, they have their fight. But Brock is not forgetting. You know what, Bobby? You might have won, but you had help. We need to go again. Because I don't think you can beat me if you don't have help. Let's set it up for Crown Jewel. Crown Jewel gets here. Come to find out, Bobby Lashley don't need no help. Hey, he's giving the business to Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar's in trouble. Brock Lesnar won off a goddamn 10. Why in the Hurt Lock? I don't think nobody knew Brock Lesnar could do something like that.
I mean, that is
Bobby's the dominant one, but Brock Lesnar won. Ain't that something? Mm-hmm. Who the hell thought we'll see today? All right. Brock goes on about his business. He finally comes back and stops Bobby Lashley twice. Not once, but twice from winning the U.S. title from Austin Theory. These two are really starting to go at it. This is getting interesting. So something that we craved for years and never got it, they found a way to give us what we want years later and make us still interested in it. Okay. Warrior Rumble. Bobby Lashley takes out Brock Lesnar. Bartless is eliminated. Ooh. We getting to, okay. We definitely getting somewhere. Because everybody who knows Brock Lesnar, if you eliminate Brock Lesnar in the Warrior Rumble match, oh, you're next on the list. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. You're next on the list.
Yeah, the beast is coming after you. You wake up, you piss off the beast, you got to pay for it.
Bobby who? So, Brock Lesnar has a contract for Elimination Chamber. Because he wants to fight Bobby Lashley. He was eliminated by Bobby Lashley. You see how they continued the story and they kept progressing it?
Mm-hmm.
Now, we have a DQ disqualification. We have a disqualification because Bobby Lashley, because Brock Lesnar, shall I say, couldn't get out the Hurt Lock. So, he had to kick him in the groin. Wilder Wolf was watching, by the way. But Brock Lesnar did what he wanted to do. He laid Bobby Lashley out on the announce table. I'm good. Now Bobby Lashley's going to respond. You see? And then you're going to get to WrestleMania. What match we gonna get? That's to be known. But for right now, they did it well. They have progressed the storyline very well.
Mm-hmm. And it's gonna be settled at WrestleMania once and for all. All right, moving on. Edge and Beth Phoenix versus Finn Balor and Rhea Ripley with Dominic. Okay, right off the bat, I'm actually surprised that the Judgment Day did not win, because I felt that the Judgment Day was going to win this one.
Oof, where do I begin? First off, for those of you out there, I want y'all to know this. Dominic is over as a heel.
Big time.
Dominic is over as a heel. And if you don't, for those who are casual fans who don't understand how the wrestling world works, if the fans are reacting to you, no matter how they reacted to you, you're over one way or the other. Dominic is over as a heel. When you can get an FU chant from the crowd, you're over.
Yeah, no kidding.
The guy who is afraid to throw punches is over as a heel.
You know, right now, I mean, he's prison Dom.
So, first, that's first and foremost. Secondly, I think they did the right decision because we already know Rhea Ripley is already in Mania with a championship match against Charlotte Flair. So, her winning, her and Finn Balor winning that chain, would it really be necessary?
But I gotta imagine, I mean, because based on how this went, I mean, could you imagine if the Judgment Day all of a sudden they're not on the same page, there's miscommunications, and this starts building through a breakup?
So, I mean, who has been the most dominant female on the roster? Both SmackDown and Raw.
Rhea Ripley.
So her losing doesn't hurt. Okay, and speaking of Rhea Ripley, this match was about Rhea Ripley and Beth Phoenix.
100%.
These two ladies put on the show. Edge and Finn Balor, they played their part. They took a step back and they let the ladies go at it. And it was amazing to watch. And then when it was time for the guys to come in and finish the job, they finished the job quite well. So I got to say, that match was all about the ladies. They put on the show.
100%, but do you feel like the judge like what do you think the Judgment Day moves on? I mean, do you think the whole thing with Edge and the Judgment Day is finished now for good?
That's a very good question. I have to watch Raw for me to figure that out.
And Raw's on later in a little bit.
So if I see them on Raw and see what they're doing, I have a better understanding. But for me, I think Rhea Ripley ain't worrying about Beth Phoenix. She's focusing on Charlotte Flair and SmackDown.
I would imagine, I'd imagine now, as far as Dominic Mysterio goes, they're probably not going to start really building the match between him and his dad at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I can see that.
And as far as Finn Balor goes. I mean, I don't know. Now, as far as Finn Balor and Damian Priest go, I don't know where they go from here. But as far as we all know where Rhea goes from here, because she has to focus on Charlotte Flair now in a rematch from what happened 3 years ago. But with Dominic now, I'd imagine now they're really going to start building up the match between him and his dad. We all know what's going to happen one way or the other.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about how Mysterio is over as a heel. I mean, we saw what the Canadian, what the Montreal crowd was saying to him.
Yep.
And there you go. And the finish of the match. I mean, the move that they use. I mean, this is basically, you know, a salute to FTR from AEW.
Shatter Machine.
Mm-hmm. Shatter Machine, I should say. All right. The Men's Elimination Chamber for the United States Championship. Oh, boy.
those six individuals. Good gracious. Man, we gave love to the ladies for everybody doing it. But this one here, Bronson Reed looked like a monster in that match.
I mean, the way he as he should be.
Oh, he looked like a monster in that match. That was a hell of a performance. Damian Priest put on a good show. I have to say this, man. Look here. Johnny Wrestling and Seth Rollins chilling at the top of the pile was funny as hell. That was funny.
Yeah, it was.
They had a quick 30-second conversation and they got back to fight. That was funny to me, man. That was hilarious. I enjoyed that one.
I think we all did.
I gotta admit, that was funny. And then that Hurricane run off the pot. Oh my gosh. That was amazing for Johnny Wrestling to do that. No. But of course, we knew who was gonna be the highlight reel of the match, Montez Ford, and he never disappointed. So we knew that going in. He was gonna be the highlight reel.
We definitely did. But the finish. I'm not surprised they went through it because it's in Montreal, it's in the same building as the screw job. So of course somebody's gonna get screwed, right?
And how they did it was amazing because people really thought Montez Ford was actually injured. Like, people was like a legit concern, like, damn, well, I hope he ain't got a concussion for real. I hope he. But it was set up for Logan Paul to come through, which basically confirmed Logan Paul's going to be in Hollywood on April 1st or in 2nd.
And I wrote about it on the Playmakers blog. The match is solidified.
I can't wait to hear Seth Rollins tonight on Raw to respond to what happened between him and Logan Paul, costing him the United States Championship.
I think Seth Rollins tonight officially fully reverts to like a full baby face, because even though they say he's already a face, I still don't think that he's fully at a face right now. I think tonight Seth Rollins finally turns into a 100% baby face.
So that's going to be interesting to see. One of the main questions coming out of this is what's going to happen with the Street Profits, because a lot of people are like fully invested in Montez Ford getting a title right now. They are fully invested now. You can see it.
100%. And, you know, of course, we talk about how Seth Rollins gets screwed out of the title. I mean, it's funny how Logan Paul, you know, screws Seth Rollins using his own move. I mean, it was Montreal, right? Might as well do it that way.
By the way, and I've seen a lot of people on Twitter say this, and they hate saying it, but they got to give them a credit. That butt shot, Larry, was on point.
It was. And I said in my story that at this point, we all know Logan Paul is the heel. And if this match does happen, I explained why. That we all know that if it happened, we all know Logan Paul is winning at WrestleMania. Because of the status and everything, and you know all the and everything like that. I mean, they can't have Logan Paul lose another match, not for a long time at least.
Hey, y'all can say what y'all want, and you know I'm not a fan of Logan Paul, you know. But every time this man stepped in the WWE ring, he puts on a show, and you can't say otherwise.
You can't.
I mean, him and Roman Reigns when they went there, Crown Jewel.
Yeah, where he got hurt.
And Logan Paul was the show. And that's saying a lot, because you're going against the guy of the company.
Man, 100%.
So Logan Paul, Seth Rollins, I can only imagine what they're going to come up with at Mania.
I mean, when Montez Ford was eliminated, I mean, the crowd didn't react positively to that.
Like I said, they actually thought he was injured.
Mm-hmm.
Because he took a curb stomp outside the ring.
He did.
So he was like, oh, dang. Seth Rollins effed up. They're going to ban the curb stomp again. I hope Montez Ford did this and that. And next thing you know, Logan Paul's here.
I mean, Montez Ford eliminated Damian Priest.
So, you know, they gonna play the part of Montez Ford hurt. He might not be on Raw tonight. He might take a week off or two and then come back and go from there. But everything is built towards WrestleMania. Every detail is built towards WrestleMania.
100%. There's no doubt about it, but we talked earlier about where did the other competitors go from here for the women's match, and now we kind of ask ourselves for this one as well.
So before I came on here with you, and I hate the fact that I'm going to announce this, a certain former U.S. champion is going to be on Raw on March 6th.
Mm-hmm.
Which pretty much confirmed for me that he's going to be at WrestleMania and probably is going to fight Austin Theory.
Are you talking about who I think you are?
So I might be sick to my stomach if this gets confirmed for Mania. Because this might be a passing of the torch match at Mania.
Oh, boy. I think I know where this is going because I saw this already earlier. So I have a feeling I know who you're talking about. And is he the same guy that won that won this title for the first time? You know, in his because March 6th is going to be in Boston, right?
I don't even know where March 6th is going to be at, but let's look that up.
Well, according to this, yeah, Monday Night Raw is going to be at the TD Garden at WrestleMania. And I saw that somebody is announced for that particular episode, so I know where this is going, but...
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah. Let's just say this person, let's just say you can't really see him, can you? I'll just put it like that.
So, yeah, that might be my sit-to-my-stomach moment of WrestleMania.
I certainly know, love to hear the reaction of Ricky, Mark Braverman, as well as Dre Day.
So,
and Snowman too, for that matter. Shout out to the Snowman as well.
Hey, we talked about it. We talked about Elimination Chamber on Snowman in the morning earlier this morning.
Yeah. So yeah. But yeah, it'd be right. It could be like that, the official passing of the torch. But if that's the case, does Theory remain heel? Does he turn face? I mean, who knows?
Now, you know he the heel.
I mean,
everybody's the heel against this guy.
I mean, Austin Theory turning face. I mean, Austin Theory turning face is probably going to happen sometime in the future, but not anytime soon.
Yep.
But I can't see the reaction of Seth freaking Rollins tonight.
And then, as you talk about Judgment Day, what's going to happen with Finn Balor and Priest going up to this moment? And who cares what Dominic's going to do? Even though you say him or Mysterio are going to be ready to fight. Even if he does fight, who cares?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if starting tonight, Finn and Priest start getting, like I said, these miscommunications. And then eventually, I'm already predicting this. After WrestleMania, the Judgment Day is going to be no more. I'm already predicting it. After WrestleMania, the Judgment Day is gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, like a friend of mine's already predicted. I mean, I'm not gonna put it out like that, but I have a feeling that Rhea Ripley is gonna embark on her own again, and she might revert back to a face because everybody's saying like that. It's always better when Charlotte's the heel, but we'll have to wait and see. But yeah, I really have a feeling that we're basically starting to be we might be in the closing stages of the Judgment Day. Especially because they lost to Edge and Beth Phoenix. Because I felt that if the Judgment Day is getting over in this match, then they're gonna be around for a while. But since they didn't, this might be the end of it. And everybody knows I'm not a big fan of the Judgment Day. I mean, okay, I always say people correction, I'm not a fan at all, honestly. Because I miss the NXT Rhea Ripley so much. But you know, we don't need to get into that. But yeah, I think we're basically close to the end of the Judgment Day.
This is what she needed. She needed a Judgment Day. Because they made her be the most powerful woman on the roster right now. Despite the fact she don't have a title.
But here we are. The main event. The Tribal Chief Roman Reigns. The undisputed champion of WWE versus Sami Zayn.
Sami Zayn bought the music back. I know you was happy to hear it.
No. I mean, at this point, I was really hoping, you think Sami Zayn's going to be back to a little bit of a, like, wear the same gear he wore at NXT, kind of be like the Sami Zayn we saw at first, but, I mean, who knows? I mean, we already know that Roman Reigns is facing Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania, so after this match, I'm really asking, you know, where will Sami Zayn go from here?
But before we go to that one.
Yeah.
The whole thing with Cody Rhodes and Sami Zayn, that was a bone-chilling moment for me to watch on Raw 2 weeks ago.
It certainly was, and I think at this point, we all know The Rock is not going to be at WrestleMania.
We don't need The Rock. Which is our running coming from me.
I mean, look, I love The Rock. It's always great to see him, but yeah, I mean, The Rock versus Roman Reigns, yeah, I knew from day one, yeah, it's not going to happen. I mean, come on. I mean, if it were to happen, is The Rock really gonna lose to Roman Reigns? I mean, think about it. Is it really gonna go down like that? No, so he's not gonna be there at all. But like you said, he doesn't need to be there. And with let's be honest, with the XFL just starting the season, I'm sure he'll be too busy.
So I mean, but to the match, this was everything that you needed for a main event match.
I mean, right now,
I just love how Roman Reigns played it. I didn't want to do this. This is his fault. I wanted to be a big, happy family. You feel me? He was talking to Sami's wife. I'm like, this guy gets it. He just gets it. And the way they started the match, they didn't throw punches for like 5 minutes. Like, they just let the crowd take over. For like 5 whole minutes before they actually got to the match. Like, they played it, they sent it off very well. I'm pretty sure the Montreal crowd knew Sami wasn't going to win. I'm pretty sure they knew that going in. But they played their part.
I mean, and Sami Zayn still got over. I mean, he was already over ever since. I mean, we'll never forget that promo, feeling oozy, but now he's way more. I mean, with the Montreal crowd, I mean, he got more over than ever.
And then him accidentally sparing Jey Uso opens the door for another match to be solidified at WrestleMania.
Well, it was Jimmy Uso he speared, right?
He speared Jay.
Okay, yeah, because Jay's been the one that's been, you know, supporting him, yeah. So, of course, that's how it goes.
He's still Jay trying to spare Roman Reigns. Now that opens the door, because guess who came out to say Sami? The other Montreal hero, Kevin Owens.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be the first to say this. I was waiting for the right moment to say this. I wish I could have waited my bank away a little longer. This is the beginning of the end of the bloodline.
The beginning of the end of the bloodline. So what will happen to him? So the tribal chief loses at WrestleMania and so do the Usos, right? Is that really what leads to the ultimate downfall?
That's what I'm predicting.
I mean, at this point, yeah. I mean, okay, you know what? I here's probably the way I see it. All right. Cody wins the titles. And then are we going to see the Usos versus Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn?
That's what I'm saying.
Could we see Kevin Owens turn heel and turn on Zayn again? Or do you think they're not going to do that?
Nope. I think all the titles are leaving the bloodline.
And then the next night on Raw, let me guess. Roman Reigns is gonna cut a promo, and I guess he and the Usos will lose their rematches, and then moving forward, Roman Reigns is gonna blame them, you know, like that. It's gonna be basically it's gonna be a family feud.
Now another thing is, does Cody Rhodes actually win?
Roman Reigns is not turning. Roman Reigns won't turn face. The Usos may turn face, But it won't. But Roman Reigns won't turn face anytime soon.
The other thing is, could Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman pull one over on Cody Rhodes and have Cody Rhodes win only one title and keep the other one?
Okay. So you're saying two matches for the Tribal Chief at WrestleMania?
No, what I'm saying is, what if Cody wins, right?
Mm-hmm.
We get to Raw after WrestleMania. Paul Heyman comes out and says, congratulations, Cody, you won. You did what your father couldn't do and all that good stuff, correct? Because that's pretty much the storyline is. The prodigal son returns and claims what it should have been his dad, but his dad never had the opportunity to do, and he claims it, right? That's mm-hmm. pretty much the storyline.
Yeah.
For people who don't understand that, they don't watch enough movies and shows to understand that. Which is kind of hard to fathom because that's pretty much the actual storyline.
You're right.
And but Paul Heyman comes out on Monday Night Raw to interrupt Cody Rhodes' celebration, right? And says that, you, sir, I had a feeling you might win, so I had to pull some strings in the back, and technically you're the WWE champion, not the Universal champion.
Oh, boy.
Because what am I thinking is, we're going to go back to, we still have two shows, right?
Yes, we do.
Time to split the belts back apart from and go back to the respective shows now. That's what my head is thinking at right now. How we get the belts separated again and let them be on their respective shows again?
The way I see it, you know, what I would love to see, I mean, if the Tribal Chiefs has two matches, he loses one title to Sami Zayn and loses the other to Cody. I mean, okay, having the title put on Sami Zayn, eventually, I was still hoping that I thought that years ago that was dead, but I think at this point it may have just been resurrected. But if that's the case, who do the Usos go against? Well, okay, that would open the door. So the Usos versus Finn Balor and Damian Priest.
That could be for the Raw titles.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's right, because the Usos, you know, have both titles, yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
I think Triple H is getting to the point where now he can go back and separate the titles.
Yeah, I mean, two separate brands.
Because, hey, we're talking... And the funny thing is, they turned the story all the way around. They did a full circle on the storyline. And what most people forgot, this whole Bloodline storyline started with Jey Uso.
It did.
It started with Jey. And then when Warrior Rumble happened, it's like, they completed the circle. Jay's walking out. Jay's the one that everybody got a question. That's who it started with. So now you talking, Triple H has done the entire long-term storytelling of the Bloodline. But how do you give it the proper ending? You bring the prodigal son back, the one who went away to do his own thing, but realize there's something that needs to be done back home to put the family name where it's supposed to have been all these years. Cody Rhodes takes down the monster that is Roman Reigns at WrestleMania.
And after that, the Bloodline is no more. We'll just have to wait and see, but we are shaping to see a very exciting WrestleMania, and I cannot wait.
You just gotta pay attention to the storyline. Pay attention to the storyline. What are they trying to tell you?
I mean, at this point, I'd imagine Roman Reigns has to be absolutely burnt out. I mean, being Universal Champion for almost 2.5 years now.
That man been champion for over 900 days.
Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised, with all this, when the Bloodline falls forever. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Roman Reigns disappeared from television for a while.
I think that's what it's setting up for Roman Reigns to go off about his business.
Mm-hmm. Probably maybe the Hollywood. I don't know. Anyway, so that's basically the card for Elimination Chamber. And as we close it out, we're going to talk about somebody that, well, she finally got something that she has worked so hard for, and I couldn't be happy for her. Ladies and gentlemen, I am talking about Mercedes Moné, formerly known as Sasha Banks in WWE, because at the recent New Japan Pro Wrestling Battle in the Valley, Mercedes Moné defeated Kairi for the IWGP Women's Championship. And Playmaker, I know that you don't really want to talk about it, because look, you didn't see the show, you know, honestly, and I didn't either, but let's be honest. When we saw that she was now with New Japan Pro Wrestling as well as its sister promotion, World Wonder Ring Stardom, I mean, we were pretty excited. I mean, I was. I know you were, too.
I mean, honestly, I'm happy for her because guess what? She's been in Japan the whole entire time. But, you know, I would love for her to be back in WWE. That's where she belongs, in my opinion. But she's captured a title in a company that she practically knows and she's still part of. So happy for her. I'm happy for her. I'm happy for Kairi Sane. She's been doing her thing over there in New Japan as well, back home where she's from.
I mean, she even mentioned that Triple H, you know, got in touch with her, you know, before the match. I think he wished her good luck or something like that, or congrats. I mean, she confirmed that there's no bad blood between the company. So that's good to know. It really is. It is good to know that there's no like, you know, bad things. He says here, yeah. Triple H texted her to show her support for her New Japan Pro Wrestling journey. So because Triple H is now fully in charge of the company, and because, you know, he sent her a message of support, there's no hard feelings. That basically doesn't rule out the fact she could return to the company in the future. You know, and a friend of mine says that if she comes back to the company, whether it's 3 years from now, could you imagine if by then WWE has a working relationship with Impact Wrestling, AEW and Ring of Honor, along with New Japan? I mean, could you imagine if all of pro wrestling is all united into one? Imagine if that happens within the next 3 years.
I mean, egos have to be thrown out for that to happen.
Exactly. Egos need to be thrown out. It's about doing what's best for business, because here's the thing. All promotions united, we are taught with the possibility of huge money-making matches, but then again, as the egos kick in, I don't want to lose. I want to get over. I don't want to go this way. Like, exactly. That's going to be a huge problem. I mean, it's never going to be like it was back in the day of the territories, you know, the National Wrestling Alliance, you know, the days of Ric Flair, all those guys. Wrestling will never be like that again. It doesn't have to be like that again. It doesn't have to be the old school 1980s style that Jim Cornette loved so much. But I mean, and no disrespect to Jim Cornette, because we know, you know, Jim Cornette, you know, how he is, you know, a strong man of conviction with his belief of how pro wrestling needs and his style of wrestling is. But, you know, it doesn't have to be like it was back in the day. Like, we need to, because wrestling continues to evolve, and it's only going to continue to evolve. And, you know, staying stuck in the old school way, I mean, fans are not going to have any interest in it. So, wrestling fans, you know, wrestling fans know that wrestling changes. So wrestling has to change. So who knows? But the bottom line is, Mercedes Moné, it's good to know that there's no bad feelings between her and WWE.
Yep. And you just let her do her. Let her go over there and handle business. Let her do the Chris Jericho route. Spend time away. Wrestle as well. And then when she comes back, everybody loves Sasha Banks.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Mercedes going to do what she does best, and that's wrestle.
Yeah, and whether she comes back or not, the time has to be right. And God willing, all of pro wrestling is all united with working relationships. It's almost like the days of the National Wrestling Alliance. Wrestling all as a whole, as a one unit. I'm going to be the happiest guy on earth, because, look, for me, I don't want AEW being better than WWE. I don't want one promotion being better than the other, because the wrestling fan that I am, I just want to appreciate pro wrestling as a whole, because I know that it's different in Japan than it is here. It's different in Mexico. But if they're all working together, I mean, imagine if you have Japan's top star versus Mexico's top star versus AEW's versus WWE's in a fatal four-way match. I mean, that's definitely some potential. But again, the egos. But, you know, who knows all the magical great things we can see if all of wrestling is all united. It's one strong working relationship that changes the course of wrestling forever in the most positive way and exciting way.
There you go.
I mean, let's be honest. If there was ever a show where AEW, Impact, you know, all the promotions are all the talent is in one, and then let's say there's like a six-way dance between the star of each promotion. I mean, hey, believe it or not, I mean, you know that you would want to go if you had the chance, especially if it was here in the U.S.
That's what it is.
It is what it is, but, you know, congratulations to Mercedes Moné. I mean, no matter where she is, to me, she's always going to be the legitimate boss. I'm really happy for her. You know, when she made her debut attacking Kairi Sane and cutting that massive promo really put her over. And then after she won the match, I mean, after, you know, she actually, you know, I think became face. I mean, I didn't expect that, but I'm glad it happened. But you know what? She's doing her thing. She's wrestling, and when the time is right, God willing, she'll be back in WWE, and who knows with a company, and who knows what wrestling will be at that point. We just have to wait and see. Yeah. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is going to do it for today. Playmaker, anything you want to announce, my friend?
Oh, man. I got some things in the works right now. My new episode of Streaming Lifestyle is up. Go ahead and check that out. Did a recap of All-Star Weekend, and then if you know anything about basketball, you know after All-Star Weekend is the race to March Madness.
Yes, sir, and just so everybody knows, Into the Net FC is all of a sudden getting a little bit of momentum. I'm sure everybody has noticed the stronger-looking titles along with the thumbnails, you know, including on YouTube. So, ladies and gentlemen, if you love soccer, then my show, Into the Net FC, is the show for you. Cowboy Stock will not be stopping anytime soon. I will work to the best of my ability to continue providing content, despite that it's the off season. And Ringside Chaos, ladies and gentlemen, if you love professional wrestling and you know somebody that loves professional wrestling and they are looking for the greatest and most exciting pro wrestling podcast in the world, then Ringside Chaos is the show for them. It's available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Amazon Music, and YouTube. And one more thing. Don't forget to check out the Playmakers blog website along with Third Down Thursdays. Subscribe, check out the content. You will not be disappointed. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, and y'all have a good night.
Save on your next oil change at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Choose Castrol Edge Full Synthetic Motor Oil to provide maximum performance and protection for your engine. Get a $15 gift card after rebate when you buy 5 quarts of Castrol Edge for $34.95. Plus, 2 times O Rewards points. Offer valid in-store and online at O'ReillyAuto.com.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.